Welcome back to Jimmy's Army Podcast, and we are going to go ahead and talk about some things that happened this week. But first, let's go ahead and introduce our fellow guests. If you didn't notice, I am not Daniel Hernandez. I know, crazy. This is Tyler. I'm going to be the host tonight. Daniel was caught up doing whatever he does. But first, we have his lovely wife here, Caitlin, right next to me. She's going to be a fellow host as well. Caitlin?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm bringing diversity and intelligence into the podcast tonight, so I hope that works out well.
Definitely intelligence. And we have Eddie, the Eddie Martz.
What's happening, guys?
And for some reason, he's still here. We have Ryan Hernandez.
Hi, guys. I'm just bringing diversity and intelligence to this podcast tonight.
At least I got the beauty. All right.
Caitlin's actually got the girl.
Nobody wants to get into trouble.
You got the girl voice, so we get more listeners.
Yep, this is all a ploy so that we get more listeners. So let's go ahead and preview the show. We had a game against Tulsa. It was quite the game. I think there's some joy and disappointment all around. And we have a nice large wrench now that's painted a couple of different colors. And it's really heavy. And then also, we had a really big meeting before that game with the front office. Anybody have anything to say about this before we go ahead and get started?
I think we can just save it for the show, Ty.
All right, then let's get it going. I had to take that first drink. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about what we're drinking tonight. Caitlin, what are you drinking over there?
I have the Coop Horny Toad. Pretty excited to try it.
Okay. What about you, Eddie?
I'm drinking Anthem's Golden One. It's a Belgian-style blonde. It's been on the pod multiple times.
Perfect. And to be honest, that is all we have tonight. Ryan, sorry. we brought two locals to drink and to enjoy. And Ryan, how are you doing? Are you doing specifically well since I cut you out of that?
I'm doing well. I would just like to point out that I'm specifically not drinking a Prairie beer.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. I'm sitting right next to you. Thank you. And neither am I. I'm also drinking the Golden One. Shout out.
David Einstein. Or is it Einstein?
We weren't going to shout him out anymore. Thank you.
He's pretty dumb for an Einstein.
So, anyways, let's go ahead and get started and stop talking about the lesser individuals that are fans of our most hated rivals. We played Tulsa this Saturday. It was a pretty big match, seeing as if we at least came out with a point, we would have clinched the ever-coveted wrench that is for the Black Gold Derby. If some of the listeners don't know, which you probably all should, we tied 1-1, and it was a pretty heated match. There were some disappointments there, but let's save that for the good, bad, and ugly. Let's go ahead and get that started. Caitlin, you got a good?
Have you guys, before we get into that for just a second, have you guys explained on the podcast why it's called the Black Gold Derby?
We had a whole section on that whenever they were, right after they came back from Tulsa.
I believe we sarcastically made fun of it.
Yeah, that's
as we
probably,
do with everything.
Oh, yeah, we definitely made fun of it a little bit. Yeah.
All right, just
do you have something to explain about it?
No, I had to ask about it because I thought it was a really stupid name and I didn't understand why it was called that. So I just wanted to see if you guys had shouted out to our listeners. You know, I know shout outs, but explain to them why it's called the Black Goat Blurby. Bye.
Dang, Caitlin is starting off on fire tonight.
Brought fire.
Whew. Yeah. I can.
Daniel.
All right, so back to the good, bad, and ugly. I do have a good, Tyler. Thanks for asking. And my good was actually Chewy Sanchez for this game. I thought he came on off the bench in the second half, and he added a much-needed spark to our midfield specifically, especially when our midfield had been non-existent for most of the game. But I'll talk more about that in the bad and ugly sections of the pod.
I would agree with that. Chewy, of course, was the man of the match that evening. When he came onto the pitch, he just dribbled around everybody on the field, and he couldn't stop running. It was crazy.
Well, and it was much needed. Let's be honest, our midfield and our possession wasn't so great this game, and I thought Chewy really came on and kind of just turned the whole tone of the game there for the second half.
Just to clarify, wasn't he involved in the play that got us the foul for the penalty for our single goal? I'm pretty sure he didn't get the foul. He didn't draw it.
But no, Kunic got the foul.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he came on and wasn't it like the 60th minute and helped draw the play?
I don't know. I think was it Gaz that played the ball in?
I think Gaz played the ball in.
Okay, then I'm mistaken.
But no, he definitely provided a much necessary spark to the team, and that's actually leads into my good for the game, which was actually just the players coming off the bench. Kyle Gregg as well provided a huge spark to the team that we needed to really get the players going, moving, spreading out the field.
So what about you, Eddie? You got a good?
My good for this match was how quickly we came back and scored our goal after being scored on. It only took 10 minutes. It's not something that we've done, with the exception of last week's Orange County game. There hadn't been a lot of games, and we've talked about this on the pod before, how we get scored on and then we have to fight back. And then if we really do, I mean, usually when we lose it, it's by a goal after going down early.
Yeah, that seems to be that was at the beginning of the season a very big issue, is reoccurring a lot. But I think we're seeing now more and more that we are making that comeback as of recent. Even though we aren't winning the game, I mean, at least we're fighting when we're down, which we weren't doing at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but until Orange County, there hadn't been many games that we'd actually come back from being down to tie or win a game. I mean, even on the road, I think in the last four games or something like that on the road, since we lost and have been drawing, it hasn't been get scored on and then come back quickly.
Well, I am going to go ahead and go with my good. And my good, I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to try and flip it. I'm going to try and put a positive spin on all this. Go ahead and say that I think the energy has a lot more than they're showing us. I mean, obviously they do. They've shown us throughout this whole season, at least in their hot streak, that they've got a lot more. And I'm hoping that they're getting this cold streak out of the way just in time towards the end of the season for them to get back on the right track. It's just, you know, teams will go on hot and cold streaks, I think. And I'm hoping they're getting theirs out of the way just in time.
I'm going to bring up another point that nobody's brought up, is that Kunic got his league-leading 14th goal this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
He's just been unstoppable. You know, he takes two shots on goal. One of them goes in. Last game he had two goals, right? And he had three shots on goal.
Yeah,
Game before that he had one shot on goal and one goal. I mean, he's just...
Yeah.
If he shoots, he scores.
In the Tulsa match in the first half, he had a really great opportunity to score off of a corner kick. He headed the ball just outside of the right post. It hit the other side of the net, but it looked like it was going in. And I think some people in our section actually prematurely started celebrating with the beer shower. But, unfortunately that one didn't go in. But he was on fire the whole night.
Not to take away from the goal, which was great. I mean, we score a goal, so who's going to be picky? But I would have liked to see that goal come from open play. Honestly, I think it kind of not necessarily cheapens the goal, but makes it a little bit less impressive for his goal count.
Well, yeah.
Let's be honest. We still won, so who's really complaining, honestly? But I would have liked to see it come from open play.
On his goal count, though, does it tell you that it was a penalty?
I don't think it does.
It doesn't.
No.
I mean, he scored a few off there.
But it's not like in the Premier League whenever it has like the goals scored, I mean, with the imprint.
It doesn't say that four of them or however many penalties he's taken are four of his 14 goals. Yeah,
we haven't had too many penalties taken this year anyway, so And one of them was missed. Yep. That was like our first game.
I thought we talked about never bringing that up again.
Right. Never mind.
Well, guys, before we go ahead and get into the bad, I think this is going to be kind of a good lead-in. We spoke with Michael Thomas after the game, and he was, you could tell a little bit in his voice and in the way he talked, he was a little disappointed with the outcome. I think they're all kind of a little frustrated. And so we got a nice quote from him. Yes, we're going back to the quotes. We got one from him. So here it is.
So MT, not a win, but a draw. It clenches the wrench. How do you feel about the game and some takeaways for St. Louis?
We're frustrated right now, to be honest, that we didn't come away with a win. But at the same time, it wasn't a loss. We felt like we controlled the game for the most part, but we just need to be more dangerous going forward and finishing teams off. We had that killer instinct at the beginning of the season, and right now we're missing that right now. So it feels good to clinch the wrench, of course, against our rivals. But at the same time, we need to step it up because we expect to win those games.
Very good. That's it.
Boom. Hey.
All right. So there you heard from Michael Thomas. He's pretty frustrated with that game. Anybody else feeling any frustration?
I've definitely felt a lot of frustration watching this game. Sitting in the stands, I did not rewatch the game to talk about it for the podcast, but so I'm just going off what I remember seeing in the stands, and I was super frustrated. So let's go with my bad for the game, then we'll just go right into that part of the podcast. My bad for the game was our midfield. I thought it was nearly non-existent, at least in the first half. It picked up in the second half. We were a little bit better winning the ball, but we just really didn't look like we wanted to play very much on Saturday. And I don't know if it was the heat. It was pretty hot out there. But we weren't running hard to balls, and we didn't try to win anything out of the air. So I just thought we lost our advantage a lot there in the midfield, especially off the goal kicks.
I would definitely agree with that. Going specifically into players, Danny Gonzalez seemed pretty lackluster in the first half there. He got subbed out pretty early in the second half. And Gaz, man, I love him. But he insisted on playing the over-the-top long ball to Casey Townsend on the right, like, almost every time he touched the ball. And, I mean, like, I would have just like to have seen him retain possession, maybe do a few pass backs or just try to keep the ball on the ground a bit, because that's when we found our successes, especially like in our shots on goal, and actually whenever Danny Koenig got the penalty, it was a pass on the ground in the box. So
thank you, Ryan, for taking a little bit of my ugly on there regarding Gonzalez, because he was practically non-existent in my opinion, and that was definitely probably one of the ugliest parts of the game, was the midfield and mainly him.
I think that was part of my ugly too. The first half, everybody was pretty lazy. It did pick up late in the second half, midway through, maybe a little later even. We're just going to skip. We'll come back to bad because this is my ugly basically.
Yeah.
Can't benefit from a second half like we played if we don't try a little harder in the first half.
Agreed.
I watched an interview with Jimmy after the game, and he was talking about how the team was pretty uninvested in the first half. And you can tell that if you're looking at the stat line. 10 of our 14 shots came in the second half. When you have a half like the first where you only get 4 shots the whole time, and everybody's just kind of they're just kind of loafing around. They're not yeah, running after balls. They're letting Tulsa run, which Tulsa didn't have a very good first half either. They only had 3 shots on goal the whole first half, so it just seemed like that first half was just kind of slow and boring.
Tulsa didn't have a good first half because they don't have a good team.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you, Tyler. But if you look at this game about how poorly we played, it was very evenly matched.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the notes I wrote down for my bad. It's not going to be my bad now, but was just how we played down to their level. And I know that sounds weird, but like same amount of corners, shots on goal are within just a couple. you know, it was closer than it should have been.
I would definitely agree with you there. And I feel like as a team, we generally tend to play to the level of the team that we're playing that week. Like against LA, drew them. And they're one of the top of the table teams. And then we play a team like Tulsa, and we play down at our level. So that's definitely something that we do. And we've, going back to what you said, our second half performances, we've generally been a second half team this year, but maybe in the long term, we should probably focus on getting that first half up to the level of the second half if we want to have any major successes going on and into the playoffs.
During our winning streak, I mean, if you look at when we scored our goals, a lot of times we had at least one goal in the first half. And beginning of the season, we talked about this a lot, how we were a second half team and we keep scoring, you know, after halftime. And then all of a sudden we start scoring in the first and we go on this run of seven straight. I think next time we talk to Jimmy, we just need to ask him how we can instill like more of a killer instinct in him. We want to just go out there and attack from the very beginning.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's any coincidence that our win streak came when we were scoring more in the first half. So that's a good point to make. Tyler, I defer to you.
Let's go ahead and move it on. We've got a lot to talk about. Caitlin, you have an ugly. We weren't quite finished with bad, so we'll come to that in just a moment. Don't want to have you think that I'm ignoring you. But one thing I did kind of want to talk about that I thought was kind of bad was our spot in the stadium. That seems to be a pretty big issue right now. I know it's not anyone's fault at this point because we are just tenants there, so we don't really – the front office, the energy, the supporters group, we don't have much say because if it was our choice and anyone else's choice related to the energy, we'd be in our regular spot. But anyways, anyone have anything they want to put in on that?
Fortunately, it's not our choice. We need to be happy with where we are for while we're there, because it seems like we're going to be there for a while. You know, everybody's coming up with this excuse that the concrete under the track is not good enough to support the stands with all of our weight.
Well, it was suggested at one point by somebody that we all just go on a diet and lose weight and then make weight so that we can have our bleachers in the spot. So.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I don't need to lose any weight.
That was directed at me and Eddie, obviously, and I take offense.
Ryan would disappear if he lost any weight.
I would just float away.
Yeah.
It was not a popular suggestion, but it was a suggestion.
Ryan would fall through some cracks.
Good one, Tyler.
Well, I think in terms of ugly things that could be fixed by the front office is our stream for the matches. It's actually pretty terrible, pretty god-awful. If you've ever watched it in the past, it's been bad. And if you've ever watched it recently, it's just as bad, if not worse. If you could ask any of our friends, or actually anybody that just watches the stream, ask it anywhere, and they'll say that it's pretty terrible. So I think the energy front office needs to focus on getting that up to snuff.
I've got a fix for all those, because we have plenty of friends that watch in town. I've got a great fix for them. Go to the match. Go to the damn game.
I don't think you – I completely agree with that. But if you look at – if you try to watch any of our away games – well, I guess our away games are ran by the other teams.
Yeah.
Bitch about that.
Yeah. Can't complain about that.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Fine. I'm just kidding with you. But – no, yeah, actually, I watch a lot of the away game streams, and they're all pretty decent. And I hate to say it, but Tulsa's stream is actually really freaking good.
Yeah, they have replays, and yeah. I mean, their cameraman's actually following the ball. It's like we just kind of set one up, zoomed way out, so they can catch the whole field, yeah, and then just let it go.
I think
to play devil's advocate, we don't have a completed press box, so.
That is very true.
How long are we going to use that excuse for, though? I know it's okay. It's probably
until the press box is completed.
I guess. Gosh. Jeez.
Exactly up until that point.
Jeez.
We'll come up with another excuse after the press box is done.
But, yeah, no, I mean, we've just been saying the press boxing for so long, and it just needs to be done. That's the fact of the matter. It needs to be done already.
Okay, so Caitlin, you did your bad. Do you guys have a bad for this game?
Caitlin still has an ugly, I'm sure.
Right.
I already said my ugly. My bad was wasn't a bad. It was just I was disappointed that we didn't win, like okay. Michael Thomas. Yeah. So
great analysis.
Well, after all of the talking about how poorly we played, we didn't lose. So we played at their level. We played poorly, but we still won. So that's a positive. Or we didn't win, but we didn't lose. So.
We won a wrench.
I'm gonna say we didn't play entirely to their level because my bad is I've renamed my bad for this week to Dirty Rotten Cheaters. Because if you look at like foul counts and offsides and stuff like that, Tulsa dominated us. So my bad for this game is dirty play of Tulsa.
Are we ready to move on to ugly? Because this segment has been all over the place. So I don't really know where we're at right now.
We're on your ugly.
All right, I'm going to bring you back to my ugly.
Not you as a person. But
we're on, your ugly. Yeah.
He only gets forgiven because he shoots me that smile after he says that.
Tyler's a tall glass of water. That 17-year-old girl at work that said that to him. That happened.
Like, a 17-year-old girl with braces said that to him. A tall glass of water, and it just blows out of proportion. I didn't ask for this. I didn't say anything to get this. I hate you.
Anyways.
Everything you said was after when you said, she'll be cute in a few years.
So my ugly for the game.
Caitlin's not having any of this.
Down to business, guys. My ugly for this game was our possession. I've seen U8 soccer teams play better possession than this. It was incredibly frustrating to watch, especially as an individual who has played at a competitive level for a long time. I've definitely seen teams pass the ball better. Even just some of the passes weren't necessarily bad, but the effort to get to the passes was not there either, which resulted in us losing the ball and poor possession throughout the midfield especially. And Ryan talked earlier about the dump and run balls that got played a lot over the top.
Hate that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan either. That's like 99 Women's World Cup soccer there.
Yeah, it's like me playing FIFA soccer right there.
Didn't we win that?
Or you playing real soccer.
With the dump and run strategy.
No, I don't run.
He just dumps.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move on to the next segment. It's something that we were really passionate, I guess, about. I feel like a lot of us didn't really know what to say. There was a lot of complaining, a lot of griping, a lot of cursing. In the end, we didn't really know what to say for the entire podcast. We had a meeting with the front office. Caitlin was there. I was there. Eddie and Ryan were not. Don't know why. There was free food. Free food. And we had a good conversation. It was very... It was actually really great to hear what they had to say. So,
can I just say that I wanted to be there. I work out of town. And I tried to have... very nice, Ty. I tried to have Daniel Periscope it for me so that I could be a part of it and maybe, chat with Daniel about things that I'd like to say in the meeting. But I think you said one of their first things that they commented on was no recordings, no phones, nothing like that.
Yeah, and they wanted to have like a complete circle of trust there.
No, I get that completely, but there were other people.
We were periscoping for a little while. We got through all the introductions, and they said, "Hey, in the name of trust, let's go ahead and keep this."
I saw the periscope about the introductions and stuff, and I don't care who was there. Like, I wanted to have a voice in the room, even though I couldn't be in town, and they just immediately like took it away from everybody that wasn't there.
No, I get that frustration, but I also understand where they're coming from with it.
Also, I don't trust you guys.
That's me.
That's fair.
That's you don't trust me?
No.
You weren't there either.
So anyways,
I wasn't.
We spoke about the direction and the future of the club. And if you weren't there, we gave up some of our chants. Most of you have already heard this. We're going to self-police each other a little bit, and you know, we're going to try and make sure that people don't break these new regulations we have as a supporters group, which, I mean, it was more than fair. It was a very good negotiation.
I was, even though the Addams Family chant's really funny, that's the only reason I like to say it, I was okay with the rest of them. I mean, it was no loss there for me.
Yeah, nothing lost at all. Just to say, basically, the compromise that we reached was exactly what we suggested in last week's podcast, so for the most part. So that was really awesome.
For being at the meeting, there was a compromise reached. However, I personally felt like the ownership was a little bit hesitant with that compromise. They kind of basically said, well, let's try it and see how it works. And if we get any more complaints, then it's not going to work. So we're going to do something different. So I think they were super hesitant in the compromise. I appreciate the fact that they went ahead and accepted it just as it was, as we presented it at first, and they're willing to give it a shot. However, I'm a little bit untrusting, and I kind of feel like they might come back in the next game or two and say, hey, we need to cut out even more, and say, hey, it's not working. So,
and to be honest, that's entirely possible, because as they know, as we presented to them, we've told them we can't control everyone. We can't keep people from cursing and existing chants. But one of the stipulations is we are not going to make any more chance with cursing. So what I think they're hoping we do is we kind of weed out the ones that do curse a little bit here and there, so that they're either less and less or almost non-existent in that sense.
I think we did a pretty good job with it during the Tulsa match. I thought it was very PG-13. I mean, there were still, you know, one or two cuss words and one or two chants that we did, but for the most part, I thought it was very clean. We were trying to come up with new chants. We were trying to sing new chants that we came up with. So I was pretty happy with how we kind of answered there.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. If you were in the stands, you know, the chants with swear words in them were far and few in between. I mean, it was mostly chants that were very family friendly. And then, like you said, the ones that we came up with.
I will say that whoever decided who our capos were going to be, that was a terrible decision.
Terrible. First of all, they're the ugliest capos in the league.
Right, yeah. They were looking to the stands to, what chance should we do next, guys?
Totally worthless. That's ugly for this match.
That's not completely true.
And by the time the match was over, they were
I don't agree with all this.
They were like pouring water on themselves. I mean, it was just weird.
That was you pouring water on us. Don't lose focus because of your intoxication levels.
I want to put out. Gosh, I had the word.
Kaylin wants to put out.
I just want to make a
Come
little
on,
disclaimer.
Family pod.
Sorry, I just want to make a little disclaimer for everybody in the grid and the capos and all of that stuff. It was kind of quiet in our section for extended periods of time occasionally, and I just want everybody in that section and really in the stadium to know the capos will start some chants, but we still want a lot of them to start organically. So they're not going to stand up there and start every chant consecutively and repetitively. They really want the people in the stands to contribute as well. So if that's why you thought it was quiet, then maybe you should come up with some chants yourself or start some yourself.
Well, funny you say that, because we do have quite a few more in the woodworks right now. I mean, you can't just come up with a chant, and we've tried this. You put it on social media and you go, hey guys, let's learn this chant. Because how many people actually try to learn it? Maybe 5 or 6, maybe if you're lucky, 7 or 8 out of the, 50 people plus that we have there. And then you only have less than 10 people singing it. So it's one of those things. It takes time. Not something that happens overnight.
I feel like there were way more than 50 people there behind us.
Yeah, I think you were lowballing it, man.
I was, but
that was a really terrible estimate.
Right.
That's my new ugly for the match.
My new bad is estimate on people for this podcast, because it was like at least 3 times that. What is that, a supporters grouper for ants? No rebuttal.
He's absolutely right.
Are you not aware that I get foggy and bloated with a foamy latte?
Caitlin's rolling her eyes at everybody.
Boys and their Zoolander references.
Wait, what was that, Caitlin? Say it again.
Boys and their Zoolander references.
Earth to Caitlin. They're really good references.
Earth to Tyler. Yeah, they are.
Well, we're about to get in a freak gasoline fight accident, so you guys should just calm down.
All right, there we go.
With you, it doesn't sound like
one of the boys now.
So, we did set up two new capos. It's actually me and Daniel. And I don't agree with a lot of what Eddie said about us.
We're going to be, actually in the future, we're going to be getting them some hard hats as well as jerseys that have the word capo on the back of them.
That was my joke. I had that joke on Facebook long before you did.
I'm going to get you an imaginary baton that you can carry around the stadium beforehand.
Just make sure that you're available after the games to sign autographs for fans.
My whole point about all this is for now, there are no more sad energy fans for the moment. For the time being, we are not sad energy fans. And let's go ahead and move on to the future because I'm tired of them harassing.
Future.
The future is now.
So this Saturday, we...
No, it's now.
Oh, the future's now.
No, it's now.
It's now.
We play St. Louis FC at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park in St. Louis, Missouri, because apparently St. Louis is the mecca for soccer in America. This is Soccer City USA, people. We are so blessed and so happy to be able to grace them or to be graced with their presence in their stadium.
Are we #blessed?
Are we?
No. Definitely not. Right, because you know what happened last time I did that? I'm not doing that again. Don't put that hate on me, Ricky Bobby.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'm cutting you off, sir, is that my pre-ugly for this next match is all of the St. Louis fans on the USL Pro page. They're all ugly. They're all stupid.
There's some nice.
That's a really good ugly.
But you know what?
I might steal that next week.
You know what I find hilarious is they have a losing record, and yet they still like to brag about how their supporters group is the best in the USL.
Can I just say that they lost two games ago to FC Montreal, which we'll go through in the Around the League, 5-2, and FC Montreal is last place in the East.
Awful.
5-2.
Disgrace. Die by the sword.
Die by the sword.
They really did. So that will be this Saturday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm sure there's going to be a live feed. Last time we met them was at Taft Stadium here in Oklahoma City. Actually, we're in Midwest City, but we'll pretend. We'll have pretend time that we're in Oklahoma City.
It's in the OKC metro area.
Yeah, 2-1, we lost. It was kind of disappointing, but at least it was at the beginning of the season.
Where can people go to watch that stream, Tyler?
Skinny Slims.
And where is that located?
201 East Main, fool.
He got it. He finally got it.
It's downtown. No, I'm not. I don't have Google Maps up, people. I memorized it now after being corrected like 6 times.
I'm going to go ahead and announce my good for this game after you announce your ugly is going to be the 4-1 victory that we're going to have away.
Don't you mean the 6-0?
No, let's be realistic.
I said 4-1.
I said what I said.
What a fool. So we are looking to break that winless streak with a road victory here. And
I just want to point out it's not a losing streak because we did not lose to Tulsa. So.
Points on points on points.
We're currently on a draw streak.
Yeah, we're
three draws.
We have a 3-point streak right now.
Hey, that's still not a losing streak, so there we go.
Well, I'm going to say...
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
You're welcome.
I'm going to say...
Put me in a commercial.
I was going to bring this up again during the Around the League, but... Right now, only having draws and 1 point in each game is not how we need to be taking advantage of what's going on around the league because the teams ahead of us for the last couple games have been drawing either with each other or whoever they're playing. So to start taking advantage of teams St. Louis while other teams are struggling a little bit.
So we do have some players that we kind of want to look out for. Two of them on the offensive side are going to be Brian Gall.
Who cares?
Yeah, and Mike Ambersley.
Who now, cares?
Gall is one of the team's leading scorers. And Ambersley, he has a lot of experience on a similar level as the USL.
He's, do we know how many goals he has?
I think
Gall has four,
yeah,
and one assist, I believe.
They have a lot of distributors on
There's
their
another
team.
Player on their team. I'm not sure if his name's supposed to be pronounced Jeremy, but it's spelled Jeremy.
Jeremy.
His last name is Lynch. Yeah. He also has four goals.
Yep. So.
That's really close to our leader goal scorer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually
yeah,
not
except
close
there's a one
all.
In front of
not
ours.
Not at all?
Not yeah. at all?
Oh, okay.
Not. All
right. It's not even close to our second leading scorer. But they're pretty well distributed. Now, Ambersley has played for Rochester, Minnesota United, Indy 11, Tampa Bay Rowdies, and Atlanta Silverbacks. So he has, and for years. I mean, he's like
old.
32. So yeah, he's about your age, right, Eddie?
He pretty old.
Yeah, he pretty old. Some players are on loan. They have from Chicago. They have Kingsley Bryce, who's played two games for St. Louis thus far and has one goal. And
what
then,
a jerky name, by the way.
He's like Jamaican or something. and let me tell you, Jamaican me crazy.
Sounds like an upper middle class white kid that goes to a private school. Not Jamaican, but
go ahead and stereotype there, Ryan.
Yeah,
yeah I will.
Continue. The other one is Patrick Duty. It's sad because it's sad that you all laughed at that. I knew you would. That's why I paused.
I didn't laugh at that. Liar. I'm a mature and sophisticated individual.
I may actually make the trip to St. Louis just to make fun of that guy.
I kind of want to as well. I'll skip work.
Just up the road.
He's played 11 games so far for St. Louis. He's a defenseman. He's done pretty well from what I know. Who knows if he's going to play? Who knows if any of these guys are really going to play, but they all seem to get some good minutes.
Right on. All right, so right now we're going to break into the Around the League. First game I'm going to talk about is the game I brought up just a minute ago. FC Montreal dominated St. Louis FC 5-2. Both teams are beneath the playoff line. Montreal just happens to be last and still beat St. Louis.
Yeah, but St. Louis has that supporters group of the century, dude. They're like MLS supporters group already.
I don't know where you're getting your statistics, but
it's from the USL Facebook page. They constantly are like, oh, we have the best supporters group. And I'm like,
maybe the number one dumbest supporters group.
Good one.
Good one. Yeah.
Got him. All right. Yeah. The next game is.
Hey, don't mess with Ryan.
I'll get you. Don't. Seriously, don't mess with me.
Are you guys done?
No, seriously, don't.
The next game is the Colorado Switchbacks, which is a team ahead of us. So this was a good result for us. They drew with Vancouver Whitecaps 2-2. The next game I'm going to talk about is the LA Galaxy 2. They played Orange County Blues. They drew 1-1. This was a good result for us because LA is currently ahead of us. That took them to 33 points on the season. Orange County has 24 points, which is three behind us currently. The next game I'm going to talk about is Austin Aztecs beat Arizona United 4-1. Pittsburgh Riverhounds lost to Louisville City 1-2. Harrisburg City Islanders lost to the Red Bulls 2-0. Rochester Rhinos and Charlotte Independents dominated each other with a scoreline of 0-0.
Nobody died by the sword in that bad
boy. Died by the sword.
And nobody can seem to take down Rochester. Why?
Oh, my God.
They
haven't
still
lost.
Don't have a loss.
Ridiculous.
It's the season's only got, like a month and a half,
games
2 months
or something?
Left?
Yeah.
Gosh, and they still haven't lost?
Charleston Battery beat Wilmington Hammerheads 1-0. Toronto FC 2, who is third from last, lost to St. Louis FC 1-0. So they came back from their 5-2 loss with a staggering 1-0 victory.
That one's definitely thanks to their supporters group. They were in there. It was good on them.
Without them, they'd have lost for sure.
Yep, definitely.
The Colorado Switchbacks tied Seattle Sounders 2-1-1. Again, a very good result for us, seeing how Colorado now has 32 points. Seattle now has 33 points. Seattle and LA are now tied at the top. Portland Timbers beat the Vancouver Whitecaps. Again, a very good result for us because they're now tied at 23 points, and Vancouver could have got within one of us if they would have won that game. So we could have made up some ground in the table, but unfortunately we've drawn 3 games in a row. So we really need to take advantage at St. Louis this week.
I did read from some of the players on News OK that they really believe that this is a need win. They must win this one. It's it's very crucial to them that they get the 3 points out of this away game so that they can come home with that, a little bit of breathing room as well as a little bit of confidence. Because let's be honest, we've all seen it on the field. They need some confidence.
The way St. Louis is playing right now, though, I feel like, I don't want to say it's a guaranteed win, but I feel like we're gonna beat our tie streak and our streak with a victory on the road, which we haven't done in a long time either. Win on the road.
All right, so that is pretty much going to wrap it up. Do you guys have anything else you need to say?
Thanks for letting me be on the podcast, guys.
Thanks for coming, Kate.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Thanks for visiting us at our house that you live in.
No problem.
I just want to say that I was up and doing something when you guys skipped me for the uglies, and I just want to say that my ugly for the match was the entire Tulsa team. Honestly, they're all fat.
And Ochoa is their leader. Caitlin, I also want to say thank you for hosting us in your house every week and occasionally making us dinner. That's nice of you.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Sorry.
Really disappointed. Not tonight.
We asked her to do something else instead.
Yeah. No, this is much more important. But right. Really appreciate having you on. I don't really care that Eddie's here. Ryan, it's good to see you again.
Hey.
Yeah.
I never see you these days.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and throw some shout-outs, I guess, since Daniel usually does that. Go to Skinny Slims to watch the USA match this week. It's on Wednesday against Jamaica. Go to Skinny Slims again on Saturday to watch the game against St. Louis for our energy.
Why don't you just go to Skinny Slims every night this week, just in case there's something going on? If there's not, you can just drink.
Yeah. Oh, nope. Who's got a problem with having a beer? Not this guy.
Obviously.
Caitlin just judges us the whole
time. Is that
time.
A fat joke?
I think I'm
that's
not
a
sure.
Fat joke. That's either a fat or alcoholic joke. I can't decide, but yes. Either way, it's kind of offensive.
Yes.
Just pick one.
I'm offended by both.
Pick both.
You're not offended by the alcoholic joke.
Alcoholic.
Not really. So, anyways, go there for these games. Hang out with us. Watch. Eddie will buy you a beer. And, you know, since they've been saying I'm going to buy some beers, so I guess it's Eddie's turn. He gets
that joke was
beers.
Only funny the one time.
Yeah, that's stupid now.
You laughed. But we appreciate you guys listening. Keep doing it. And go ahead and listen in for us to have new chants and everything, because that's really important to us, too. We want everyone to get loud, everyone to get noisy. One of the most important things that I think every Oklahoman pretty much knows is we do Oklahoma at the 46th minute. So don't be afraid to join in on that. Anyways, cheers, everybody.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. Did you guys see on the chant sheet that it said to just sing the word oh, like the whole 45th minute?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. I saw that. I said 45th and like the 30th second of that minute.
I didn't get a chant sheet because I know the chants.
Well, I didn't.
No, I didn't
I mean,
see what it had on it.
I picked one up because they handed me one at the door.
Yeah.
Oh, good, because I kind of scolded them for not handing them out the door. So
yeah,
that's good that you got one.
They did now, but
so did I. But I didn't really pay attention to it. The only thing I paid attention to is the fact that they only had like 3 of our chants on there.
I feel like that would be really cool if we did like just oh for a long time, and maybe just like kind of jump around a little bit, getting all hyped up for this.
Yeah, no, definitely. we really want people to at least get into that one if they can't get into all of them. Because what Oklahoman doesn't know that? But
my wife.
I really don't, to be honest. Okay, but
well, you're not an Oklahoman. All right, let's wrap it up.
Sorry. Anyways, we'll wrap it up.
Shout out to Daniel.
Shout out to Daniel. Not really.
Shout out to Matt Crane.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Cheers, everybody. You guys all have a good day or whatever, whenever you're listening to it. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Email or message some questions. Talk to us. We're more than happy to answer anything there or on here. We like having questions on here. It's actually kind of one of our more interesting segments to us. Maybe not to you, but to us. But anyways, cheers.